Welcome to American Indian and Alaskan Native Living, a program designed to educate and inspire listeners throughout Indian country. American Indian and Alaskan Native Living is hosted by Dr. David DeRose, a board-certified specialist in both internal medicine and preventive medicine. Dr. DeRose has a wide range of experience with Native health issues, and he is here today to help you learn more about your health. Here is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome to American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We are doing another one in a series of programs that we are recording in Orlando, Florida. It's actually the summer of 2025. We're at the ASI International Convention, and we've got folks from all over the world, literally, speaking about things they're doing to impact people globally. Some of the projects, if you've been listening, are speaking exclusively about speaking to people and helping them in Indian country. But a number of groups here are really talking about global health issues. One of them is represented by the individual sitting across from me, Dr. Tom Evans. Tom, it is great to have you with us.
Thank you. Appreciate this opportunity to share.
Tom, you have got a booth here. You've got your logo on there, Child Impact International. I know you're the CEO, president of that organization. For those who don't know about Child Impact International, tell us a bit about it.
Sure. Well, the organization started 59 years ago in Australia. It was called Asian Aid. And so that organization is still going, but they wanted to start a location in the United States, and that eventually became Child Impact International.
So you guys are doing some incredible educational work. For those who are regular listeners, they know my wife is also a physician, but here we spare her from being behind the mics, and she's running around this exhibit hall, visiting with different folks. And she got so enthusiastic about the work that you're doing, especially with an issue that is, it's a tragic issue, sex trafficking. She saw some of the materials you had, and she said, you've got to get this Dr. Evans on American Indian and Alaska Native Living Radio. What are you guys doing? Why did you get my wife so excited?
Well, we just produced a booklet really to help here in North America in the fight against human trafficking. It looks a little different than it does globally. Globally, the issue is poverty. That's what really is driving individuals into trafficking circumstances. But here, it's the internet.
Wow.
And so that's where predators are hanging out, is on the internet, and they are intentionally trying to recruit our kids and build relationships with them online to meet them in the real world.
And from there, it doesn't go the direction they think based on the, quote, script they've been hearing.
Right. So that person may have been presenting themselves as a peer, somebody maybe in a neighboring school, someone in close proximity age-wise to them. And then when they meet up, it's a different story. And that's where the trafficking takes place.
Wow. So this is a huge issue. I mean, it's not an issue that's confined to any demographic group. But in this booklet, you do have some data from First Nation communities, and some of that data is pretty striking, isn't it?
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, you look at the stereotypical news reporting that happens. When a beautiful blonde girl goes missing, it makes the national news. But anybody outside of that demographic that goes missing, typically, there's not reporting that happens. And this is very tragic in the Native American community. In fact, with indigenous people in Montana representing 6.4% of the population, 26% of missing persons cases come from that community.
Wow.
And so there's a huge disparity there.
So tell us a little bit about, let's first talk to parents, to elders. What messages can we get out there that can help protect our children, our grandchildren, nephews, nieces? What do we want to get out there on the airwaves that can help people avoid being victimized?
I think probably one of the thought processes that's important for us to change is that our kids are safe when they're home. We think that trafficking happens out there somewhere else, but it actually begins on the internet, typically in our kids' bedroom. And it can even be that our kids are not looking for this, but it comes to them. And so perpetrators are very nuanced. Their approach is hard to identify because they do present themselves as someone else. And so our kids can stumble into this circumstance. For example, 36% of minors are approached by a stranger to share explicit photos with them. These are not circumstances that our kids are out looking for. Mm. These are ones that are coming to them. And it doesn't start by asking for that. It starts by building a friendship online.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So let's talk to a young person might be listening right now, or a parent. What are the red flags? I mean, is there some way to say, hey, here's some things, some safe practices as far as dealing with online friendships, online relationships? Is that one of the places we have to focus?
I'd say for younger kids, we really need to look at the issue of gaming.
Okay.
Because the issue with gaming is that you can play those games with strangers.
Hmm.
So you take a game like Roblox. It's the most popular game in the world. About half of American kids are playing Roblox. And if you were just at a computer looking over the shoulder of your child as they're playing the game, you would not be alarmed. It looks like an innocent game to play. The problem is that there's strangers that and predators go on to this game and they present themselves to be peers. And so you're playing the game with these individuals and then they want to connect in chat rooms to continue the conversations. And most of the recruiting then that happens for trafficking happens in these chat rooms. So you have games like Roblox, Minecraft, Fortnite that all on the external appearance look like an innocent game, but they're a hunting ground for predators.
Wow. And I think for a lot of people, that isn't even on their radar screen.
No.
Okay, so what do you tell a child? You know, do you say you can't play the games? That may not work too well in every environment, right?
Yeah, probably not.
So what is the messaging then?
A couple things I would say. One is that it's important that parents have access to their kids' account and that they see what's happening. And so for our kids, we want them to do these kind of games, if they're playing games, in a public area of the house, not in a private bedroom.
Hmm.
And so any use of social media for minors should be happening where parents are around in case something unusual happens. So your kid can easily ask, do you know who this person is?
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, no, I've never seen them before. They can delete that.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, you know, it's safer to play those games with people you know, who are your friends, and you know that, hey, we're going to go on and play this game together right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know for sure that that's your friend that you're playing the game with. So that's another area I think that kids can be careful with. These games, some of them are very addicting.
Mm.
When Fortnite first came out, you know, my son was interested in this game, and one of my sons played it quite a bit, and we tried to back him off of not so much. And it was like that addiction had already happened.
Wow.
And he became very angry. And I hadn't seen my son acting in that way before.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, there's... And then I did some research, and they said that this particular game, Fortnite, was producing a lot of angry teenage boys.
Wow.
And I'm like, well, I have one on my hands right now. And so we had to help him break free from that game. He likes games still, but that's not one that he's as involved with.
Okay.
So we have to look and see, you know, these games do have an addictive effect, as does social media.
Hmm.
So, you know, if we look at social media and you think about, well, what ages are most involved in social media? And a 17-year-old girl spends almost 6 hours a day on social media.
Wow.
And so if you're going to school and then you add 6 hours of social media, you're probably eating on the way to school. I mean, there's not much more time left. So it consumes a lot of our kids' time.
So let's just step back a little bit, because we talk about sex trafficking. I think a lot of people think, well, it's someone being abducted or someone thinking like in a third world setting, they're getting a good job, but they end up really in a situation where they can't get out of it. We think of some kind of physical constraints on a person. You mentioned sharing of explicit photos.
Yeah.
How does that fit into this whole continuum?
Sure, that's called sex. It can become sextortion. You can call it sexting when somebody asks for a photo and it's shared. So there's a young man by the name of Ryan that received an explicit photo from a 20-year-old lady, and she asked for him to share a photo in return, which he did. So this is a young man, 17 years old. As soon as he did that, he was asked for money in order to not share that with any others.
Wow.
And he was actually being targeted by four guys from the Ivory Coast in Africa, not even from America. And they had a campaign where they were out trying to sextort kids in the U.S. And so when they asked him for money, should have gone to his parents and talked with them and said, this has happened. But instead, he sent them whatever money he could find, and then he wrote a suicide note and took his life.
Wow.
And so this is a very dangerous situation for our kids to get involved in. So sextortion, there are thousands of cases, 54,000 every year in the United States, that are documented. So imagine beyond that, there's many that are not reported.
So is this all put under the umbrella of sex trafficking?
When somebody is extorted, yes, it becomes trafficking. But if you move into pornography, then that's a whole other scenario. A website like OnlyFans, where 36% of the accounts are unverified, which means they're third-party controlled. So you can look at this and say, well, they're only allowing individuals 18 and older on the site, which they create their own porn account, and then people come to them to ask for content. They kind of try to recreate a dating experience. But the reality is over a third of those individuals are with unverified accounts, which means they could be trafficking victims. There's also practices there where they encourage younger people to lie about their age and present themselves as being old enough to be on the site. And so one of the ironies of this particular site is that, you know, yes, they're trying to recreate this dating experience. So this guy goes on and he feels like he has a relationship with this individual that's referred to as a creator who's creating content. So they're back and forth communicating like they're friends. And she's, you know, doing things that he's asking for her to do, and he pays money for that. What the guy doesn't know is he's communicating with somebody, a guy in the Philippines that's been hired, who's called a chatter. And that person's hired to have these romantic, sexualized conversations and to market to the guy in particular to try to get as much money out of him as possible. But to the guy who maybe is lonely or having a hard time in his life, he feels like this is a personal friend and doesn't realize he's talking to a guy in the Philippines.
Wow. This is a crazy world, and I know you're trying to make a difference, helping kids avoid ever falling into these situations. But I think the bigger question, you provoke this with Ryan's story, is, you know, what's supposed to happen if a parent, an elder, or a child finds themselves in one of these situations?
Yeah, so I think one of the first most important things is to report it to the police. That is an important step. Go to a trusted adult, and that trusted adult can direct you in terms of whether this needs to go to the police to be reported. But there are laws against these things. And so you want to also make sure that you save all of the content, all that communication. The temptation would be, you know, if you find it out, you want to just go delete it and get rid of it like it didn't happen. But for the perpetrator to be caught, there needs to be something that can be followed through in order to bring them to justice.
Well, definitely prevention is on the forefront. You've got a resource that we want to talk about in our next segment. It's called Sex Trafficking in America: How to Identify and Prevent Exploitation. We're going to take a few steps back in our next segment to make sure we're all on the same page with our definitions, kind of we understand what the scope of the problem is. And then we're going to talk about some other solutions, healthy things that families can be doing, communities can be doing, tribes, to try to put a wall of protection, if you will, around our kids. I'm speaking with Dr. Tom Evans. Tom, one more time, your organization and how to get a hold of you.
Child Impact International and childimpact.org is our website with all our contact information there.
Okay, so do you catch that? Childimpact.org. Dr. Tom Evans, the resource we're talking about, Sex Trafficking in America. More coming up in our next segment. I'm Dr. David DeRose here in Orlando, Florida. We'll be back with more right after this.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please reach out to us on the web at AIANL.org. That stands for American Indian Alaska Native Living. Again, AIANL.org. Or you can call us at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
We are strong, we are resilient, and we will get through this together. But these are stressful times, and it's important to also practice good self-care. It's normal to feel overwhelmed, anxious, or afraid, but there is hope. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, stay in touch with your community, and know that you are not alone. Learn more at wearebroadcasters.com/hope. Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
When Jim died, I wondered if I would be able to keep the farm. Then I heard about the USDA's loan program for socially disadvantaged farmers and ranchers. It's for women and minorities who may be having trouble getting credit. Once I was approved, the USDA's Farm Service Agency helped me get the credit I needed. Now I don't have to sell, and I can pass the farm down to my kids the way Jim's dad passed it down to him. I know he'd like that.
Contact your local USDA service center or visit www.fsa.usda.gov.
Social Security is with you through life's journey from birth to retirement. As your life changes year to year, so do your needs. For over 80 years, Social Security has helped to meet your needs and is committed to improving access to the services that make a difference in your life. Today, you can verify your earnings, estimate your future benefits, apply for retirement, manage your benefits, and even change your address, all from the comfort of your home. Social Security's online services help put you in control with secure access to your information anytime, anywhere, allowing you to spend more time with family, friends, or simply just enjoying the day. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow. See what you can do online at socialsecurity.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian and Alaska Native Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We are speaking here from the venue of ASI, the International Convention, being held in Orlando, Florida. The year is 2025, and we're talking with people who are making a difference as far as health, communities, tribes, populations. Dr. Tom Evans is one of those people. His organization, Child Impact International. Tom, we've been speaking about a publication that you recently put out, your group. It's called Sex Trafficking in America. And I promised our listeners that we would step back just a bit and talk about this resource and kind of the broader topic. Let's do it this way. You've got hard copies here. You're passing these out at the convention. I've got one in my hand. But someone can download this resource. Tell us a little bit about what they would get if they download this.
So it's a free download. It's a 32-page booklet. childimpact.org/booklet. That's how you can download a free copy.
Okay, so if I go to childimpact.org, can I easily find there without remembering the slash booklet?
Sure, we have a store there that you can go to, but that's like for a print copy. So, yeah.
Okay, so I get a print copy from the store. I can actually purchase these if I want to get 100 of them for my community group or tribal council members. 20 of them or something, those are orderable as printed documents.
Correct. And if you call our office, we can give discounted rates for that as well.
Oh, okay. Okay. So hard copies are available, but if I want to download a copy, I got to remember that childimpact.org/booklet.
That's it.
Okay. I've got it. Hopefully you've taken note of that if you're tuning in today. So what am I getting here?
So we try to have a comprehensive resource, and this was really motivated by me being a dad. So we have 9 children.
Wow.
Some biological and some adopted.
Uh-huh.
They're all our kids, and we have journeyed through the teenage years multiple times. But the world keeps changing, and the kind of challenges that the internet, you know, brings to our kids is something that we as parents need to stay on top of. And I found through doing presentations, and we do about 100 presentations at schools and churches every year.
Wow.
That our kids know about these things, but their parents, about half of the items, risk factors that we highlight, parents have never even heard of. And so I really felt a need to provide a resource based on those open dialogues that I've had with my kids. In fact, when it was completed, I showed it to my teenage boys and girlfriend. And, you know, I said, hey, did I miss anything? I said, oh, sure enough, there's, you need to talk about this.
Okay.
So
your son and his girlfriend were some of the folks that were the focus group for the resource.
Yes. Absolutely.
I like this. Okay. And, and actually, no one can see the show because we're recording here, but next to you is one of your family members. Tell us who's been sitting next to you during this interview.
So Gabriella, she is 17 years old. We adopted her and her sister from Bulgaria. And Gabby is very involved in social media. She has 24,000 followers on TikTok.
Okay.
I never go on TikTok. But I had to go on TikTok to see what's my daughter up to. I mean, this was before we adopted her. And, you know, to be honest, she's made some pretty good choices in terms of what she posted.
Okay.
But we also had to say, let's look at everything you posted and make sure that you're not attracting the wrong person.
Wow. Okay. So you guys have some practical counsel in this resource, Sex Trafficking in America, How to Identify and Prevent Exploitation. I've got the book in my hands. I'm opening it up, and as I open it up, I see the table of contents. It looks like there's stories here. There's all kinds of different areas that we need to be paying attention to. Tell us a little bit more about just how insidious some of these practices are.
Probably I would say what's trending right now is something called nudify apps. These are apps on the phone as well as on the internet, and they're starting to produce millions and millions of dollars.
Wow.
So let's say your child has a classmate and they have a photo of that classmate. They can take that photo and put it into a nudify app, and that app will undress that classmate.
Wow.
And it will look so realistic that if that photo then gets shared, people will think it's that kid. Because it's using their actual face, and it's then undressing them in a body that would look like their body. And so this is happening to some superstars. We see that we basically scrape their face, put it onto a pornographic image, and all of a sudden it looks like Taylor Swift has done something and it's gone all over the internet, but it's not actually her. These are individuals who are using AI to generate a likeness of her. And so this has even happened to the president of the country just recently, where there was a big story about his face being scraped and put onto a body and it looking very realistic and somebody using that to make fun of him. So it can happen to anybody, but the tragedy is that our kids are getting involved with this with their classmates.
So when this happens, I mean, obviously the child, many times totally unbeknownst to them, someone runs this through one of these apps, and then does someone try to extort them, or how did they use this in a way that would compromise the child?
It can be used for extortion, yes, but it also can be just to humiliate, seen as a prank that maybe they're playing on somebody, but it's serious business. It's not funny. So, for example, there are in our schools rules about using AI for homework assignments, and yet our schools, many of them don't have rules about nudify apps and what should happen to a kid that does something like this to a classmate.
So basically, let's talk to a child. This happens to them, and someone says, hey, you know, we saw, you know, you in this situation. The person's saying, that's not me. What's the messaging to a child, and how do we protect that child from the trauma that might be associated with it?
There will be trauma, and that's the sad thing about the direction some of these things are going. There are laws. Our government is taking these things seriously. And so it does need to be reported. And the first place to go is to your parents and let them know, this is not me. I've been a victim of AI. Nudify app, this kind of thing, and then to have the parents work with school authorities if there's some way or some indication that this child knows who did this, that they can be held accountable for that behavior. So obviously you want those images to get removed, but the challenge is that once something is up on the internet, it's hard to pull it back in.
Right, right. So one of the messages I hear you communicating is to young people or for parents or elders to communicate things like this. This is not fun. This is not funny. This is not a way to prank someone. This has serious implications, not only for the child who's the victim, but also potentially for you with even criminal proceedings.
Right. I would say, too, that there are times where our kids voluntarily offer images of themselves. That is preventable. Okay. And so I would say that never share a picture of yourself with anyone that you would not want your parents to see.
Okay.
Because at the time you may say, oh, this person's my friend, they would never share it. But the temptation for a kid to share a photo like that with a buddy, hey, look at my girl, she's hot, you know? Well, you know, hey, can you share that with me? And then all of a sudden this thing goes, that friend now doesn't have that same level of sense of accountability, responsibility to not share that. And the next thing you know, something's up on the internet. One of the things that I do as an employer is that I go on social media to see who am I hiring? What are they posting? And I've been shocked. I've met individuals that I thought, I for sure want to hire this person. They're so passionate about the work we're doing. They were so organized. They did this event and highlighted child impact. Let's look at hiring them on our team. And you go and look at what they're posting online. You're seeing there's no way. They don't even line up with the values that we hold as an organization.
This is a sobering conversation for young people, people who are looking at careers, early career professionals. Social media is something that astute employers are looking at, and even potential mates and potential friends are looking at these days, right?
Yeah. I have a son that's about ready to turn 20, and he's had interest in different girls, and you know, I feel for him because he's, you know, he goes onto social media and sees what's been posted. He's like, I don't think so. I don't think this is the one.
Good for him.
He wants to see girls that are making good choices.
Right, right, right.
Every girl wants to be pretty, but there's a way to do that that's not attracting the wrong people.
I love the messaging that you're getting out there, Dr. Evans. The booklet that you've put out, I know it's especially designed to try to make a dent in this pervasive problem. If you were to say to someone tuning in today, in the closing moments that we have, one kind of key takeaway from your work in sex trafficking, what would it be?
I would say to parents to not be naive. We think that we can wait to talk to our kids until they become teenagers and are interested maybe in boys or girls. But the online predators are targeting, their primary target is 11 to 13-year-old girls.
Wow.
And it doesn't go up from there. It goes to 7 to 10-year-olds.
Amazing. One more time. How does someone get a copy of the book, Sex Trafficking in America?
So a free copy is a download, and that is childimpact.org/booklet. Or if you want to order print copies, you can go to our website, childimpact.org. If you want a discount, you can call our office and we can provide that as well.
Great. If you got to remember one thing, listeners, childimpact.org. Dr. Tom Evans, thank you so much for joining us. Stay tuned. We're going to be back with more from ASI International. We've got other great guests lined up. Stay tuned. I'm Dr. DeRose.
American Indian and Alaska Native Living will continue in a moment. If you have questions or comments about today's pre-recorded broadcast, please contact us on the web at aianl.org or call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673.
A message from the National Police Association. It used to be that any able-bodied person would offer to assist a police officer in danger. Now, passersby are more likely to take a video. There's a better use for your phone when an officer's in trouble. Call 911. Tell the operator where you are and what you see. Then, start your video to provide evidence later. To learn more about how you can assist law enforcement, visit nationalpolice.org. That's nationalpolice.org.
Unlike other health concerns, mental illness is not always easy to see. Depression won't show up on an eye chart, and you can't measure it on your bathroom scale. Sorting out a mental health concern is not something to attempt on your own. You won't find a bipolar disorder by looking at a thermometer. Like many other health conditions, help for mental illness takes professional diagnosis and treatment. Anxiety won't just go away under a stick-on bandage. So the sooner you seek treatment, the better. If you or a loved one has a mental health concern, don't go it alone. Find out what to do. For 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Learn more at samhsa.gov/support. That's samhsa.gov/support.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian and Alaska Native Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. Today we are doing a series of live shows in this venue, ASI 2025 in Orlando. Yes, the recording is live, but you're listening to it obviously after the fact. Across from me, another great producer. It is a privilege to have across from me someone who is an author, a professor, Nicole Parker. You've been doing some great work, and you've been inspiring people with all kinds of motivational resources, also things that are helping protect people in some of our most, supposedly safe settings. Tell us a little bit about your work.
Yeah, thank you, David. It's great to be here with you. I was a survivor of abuse as a child.
Wow.
All different kinds of abuse. And so when I started sharing my testimony, initially it was just a seminar, and I thought, okay, I can just tell people how God has brought me healing and freedom and peace. You know, at that point I was married, had 3 kids, and I was like, you know, I want people to know that it's just not true, that you can never move forward, never heal, because that's the lie that I heard in my head for years.
Wow.
Like, no one would ever want to marry somebody like me. No one would ever want to, you know, fall in love with someone who has triggers and might be afraid and all of those things. And I thought, I could never have kids because I would be so hypervigilant. I could never let them out of my sight. I'd be a terrible mom. And what if I, you know, ended up, my kid got abused, how would I survive that? You know, so I just lived in such fear growing up. And then as I found peace and healing and freedom in my journey with God, that's what I wanted to share with others. And I wanted people to know this is not the end of your story. It's just something that happened to you. It's not who you are. It changes who you are, but abuse is not the end. It just teaches us to be more resilient, to learn to help others, to stand up against evil. And so that's what I decided I wanted to have as my legacy. So I started sharing my story. I didn't expect so many people to respond.
Wow.
I didn't even know a lot of people would hear it. I thought, oh, maybe a couple dozen people will get a CD of this. You know, this is a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
Everybody just got CDs. I had no idea it would be ending up online where thousands of people would listen all over the world.
Wow. So just hearing a little bit of your story, if someone's never met you, and I know a lot of people know the name Nicole Parker, they say, wow, he's got Nicole Parker on the radio show. But other people don't know you at all. And they're thinking, well, how do I connect with this woman? Do you have a website? I mean, how do I get her books? And this sounds already, because I think, like you said, so many people can relate to this story. This is not an unusual experience today, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think that this is something we should expect. Trauma is the mission field of the 21st century. This is something that researcher Diane Langberg shares about in some of her books. And just understanding that trauma impacts us on an organic level. It's not something that you can just brush off and move on. People are like, oh, kids are resilient. They bounce back. No. No, we don't bounce back, but we can heal.
Mm.
And so when I started sharing my testimony, I was still working on getting my master's degrees. I got a degree in biblical counseling and also a master's in pastoral ministry. And along the way, I was discovering keys to why God allows suffering in my own Bible study time, in my own prayer time, and finding, like the Bible says, the path of the justice is the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. You know, I'm a pastor's wife. I'm a mom of four kids, including one we adopted from trauma when she was 16.
Wow.
And I just find life is so full of joy, even though there's a lot of darkness.
Now, we have to step back a little bit because we've got a very diverse audience. I mean, you know a bit about our show. We go out on networks like Native Voice One, which we have a whole cross-section of people throughout Indian country who tune in on a weekly basis.
Yes.
We go out on a number of Christian networks. So you're speaking about a journey where it was informed by Christ, the God of the Bible. But there's a lot of folks who are listening, and that's not their worldview.
Yes.
But your message is the same. People don't have to be stuck in what seems like the ruts that they were thrown into early in childhood, right?
Right. I was raised in a home where we went to church every week, and yet that was one of the most traumatic things.
Wow.
That we're having family worships, but also getting beaten and sworn at and sexually assaulted by people who are supposed to be spiritual leaders. And so it was initially in nature that I found God.
Mm.
You know, one of my favorite things of homeschooling my kids is when I would take them every year to Cherokee Powwow. And we would have just some of the best conversations as we talked about how God appears to people in ways they can understand.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be through the Bible. It doesn't have to. In fact, sometimes people can't even read the Bible because that's what's been used to traumatize them.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Bible, but there were years that I couldn't pray to God as a father because I just couldn't handle it. It would just shut me down. So I was like, I'm sorry, I'm just going to have to pray to you as an elder brother. I hope you're okay with that, you know? And he met me where I was.
Mm-hmm.
But it was in nature that I first looked at the sky and I was like, that can't have just happened. There's too much beauty. With all the ugliness and all the horror and the nightmares of my life, I felt when I saw flowers, it was like, there are just tiny veins in these flowers. Something out there is creating beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever that is, I want to follow it. And that was my baseline. Should I kill myself? And I was like,
wow, you're really at that point.
Yeah, at 15, 16, I didn't want to live anymore.
Hmm.
And I didn't know how to tell anybody that. I didn't tell my family. I didn't tell people. But I thought, I just don't think it's worth it. It's too much pain. But I couldn't argue with what I saw in nature, that there is beauty. And the beauty had to come from somewhere. There had to be some source of beauty. And when I looked at relationships, I thought, the most meaningful thing to people in life consistently is love. It is relationship. Even though relationships harm us all the time, trust over and over got broken in my life. And I would vow, I'm never going to trust again, never going to believe I'm loved again. And then I would, and then I would be shattered again. And so as a child, I could see relationships as the fountain of the worst pain, and yet we seek them instinctively. We find our deepest satisfaction in relationships. Surely we were made in the image of someone who is relational. Whoever created us, whatever created us, can't be just a force, because then why would we create relationships? Why would that be the thing that matters the most? Why does everyone instinctively know injustice is wrong? We may define justice in various ways, but every one of us knows we ought to stand up for those who are harmed. When we see a story of somebody who jumps into the pond to save a stranger whose car goes in there, from an evolutionary perspective, that's stupid. Survival of the fittest is not even applying here. Why would you do that? You know, they're out. They're done. Save yourself. But every one of us knows instinctively that's admirable. And so there's something that stamped that on our souls. And that was what I kept coming back to. And so I thought, whatever that is, I'm going to follow that. I'm going to seek that. And if it doesn't work, so I decided I'm going to seek God for a year. If it doesn't work, I can always tell myself after that. But it'd be kind of a shame to tell myself if there actually was something out there.
I love this. I know you're speaking to so many people, Nicole, who can relate to this. And there may be people listening right now to this show, and they're at that very same crossroad. And what I hear you saying is, look around you. Can't you see that there's something bigger? At least give it a chance for a year. And that may sound like a long time for someone who's thinking that it's not worth it, but you're here on the other side of that 1 year. What happened in that 1 year that changed your perspective?
Well, in that 1 year, I started reading a book called The Desire of Ages. And that book, when I read the first chapter, I was just kind of blown away by this description of who Jesus was, that he always emptied himself of power in order to use his power to help others, that this was the way the God of the universe worked. And I finished that chapter, and I actually got tears in my eyes, and I thought, and I remember these words, word for word, I thought, if that's really who God is, maybe I could trust him with my life. And I kept reading after that.
So now, folks who are not familiar with this book, they hear The Desire of Ages. I mean, it sounds like a love novel, maybe,
yeah,
or something,
exactly.
A romance. But this is a biography of the life of Christ.
Yes, it's the story of Jesus, written from a historically accurate perspective, helping understand some things like who are the Pharisees and what is Galilee like, but primarily as a story and bringing out the themes of who Jesus was in a way I had never heard them. Even though I went to church every week growing up, I hadn't ever encountered this Jesus. Now, I know not everybody finds him right in a book, you know, and initially he had already been reaching my heart through the sky, through the flowers, through the birds. But that was where I flipped the switch, I think, where I said, I think I'm going to try faith and I'm just going to see where that goes. I wasn't like committed to the whole God thing, but I was interested. And then that was just the beginning of everything else good as I kept taking those steps. Initially, I remember feeling very clearly like I'm like this cat backed into a corner with its claws out. I don't trust anybody. I want to fight. And then it was like God was saying to me, come out of there. Let me surround you. And I'm like, well, but are you going to have my back? Are you going to make sure nothing bad's going to happen to me? And he's like, no, I didn't promise that. I was like, but that's what I want. I'm not leaving this corner. I want to protect myself. And he was like, no, I will make all things work together for good. So I'm not going to promise nothing bad will happen, but I will promise that I will be with you. And in that faith journey, it was really, I remember this very distinctly, feeling like I'm stepping off this cliff into the darkness.
Wow.
And there's this sense that there's something at the bottom. There's this voice from the darkness saying, I will catch you, trust me. And I'm like, I would not step off this cliff unless everything behind me was just too ominous, too bad. But when I stepped off, I found freedom, joy, healing, and a continuing process of that journey of finding Jesus to be everything that I longed for. Now, I know Jesus isn't like when I would take my kids to Cherokee powwow. People weren't talking about Jesus there, but they would be talking about the things that they were learning from nature. And it just sparked such good conversations with my kids when people are led a lot of different ways to find the God who created them. And if he really is who he says he is, he meets us where we are. And that's the thing that I think so many people don't understand. They feel like my way is the only way, but they don't realize a creator who makes flowers and birds and music and colors must care about our feelings and about what brings us joy.
Beautiful picture. I love your story. Folks want to connect with you, though. How do they get your books? How do they hear some of your presentations? How do they do that, Nicole?
Yes. Well, so there would be a whole story of how I ended up writing books, but I ended up putting my story into a series of books that I've written called The Tales of the Exodus. It's the story of the Exodus through the eyes of the children of Joshua and Caleb as they are in slavery. And they're asking the hard questions that I asked as a child.
Wow.
If there is a God of love, why would he let this stuff happen? We pray, we do our very best to follow him, and then he lets Pharaoh take away the straw and our leaders get whipped. And everything gets worse and worse as we try to do the right thing. And so in the story, I have them just following the Exodus journey. And the talesoftheexodus.com is my website where they can look that up and find some testimonies about the books. The books are on Amazon, or you send an email to me at talesoftheexodus @yahoo.com. Then they can get books directly from me. I can mail autograph, at least within the States.
Okay. talesoftheexodus.com.
Yes, Tales of the Exodus.
If I remember nothing else, I'll be able to track you down.
Tales. It's okay. Just the story of the Exodus through the eyes of the kids of Joshua and Caleb as they're asking hard questions about trauma.
I love it. Thank you for pulling away. We've got more coming up on today's edition of American Indian and Alaska Native Living. We're going to be back after these important messages. Don't go away.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm just texting him back.
I'm just posting a story.
I'm just changing the song.
I'm just...
No. When it comes to distracted driving, just don't. Sending a text takes your eyes off the road for just 5 seconds, but in that time, your car can travel the length of an entire football field. Any distracted driving just isn't worth it.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
What is a number story?
My number story started with fear and a lack of support, and it has led me to be there for others.
A number story begins in our childhood with ACEs, adverse childhood experiences.
My number story begins with the separation from my father and the emotional abandonment from my mother, and leads to me being a role model to not only myself, but those around me by becoming the person that wasn't there for me.
ACEs are so common, 2/3 of us have one.
My number story begins with drug abuse and homelessness, and leads to realizing that I can live life by my own standards.
A study found the more ACEs, the more likely we may experience a host of serious health effects, physical and mental, but that doesn't need to be the case. Your ACE number is simply an entry point to your own story. Where it leads is up to you.
My number story begins with years of emotional abuse, and leads to peace, clarity, and security in my self-worth.
Take control of where your number story leads at numberstory.org.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian and Alaska Native Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back for our final segment of today's edition of American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We continue a series of interviews at the venue of ASI International in Orlando, Florida. We're recording in the summer of 2025. Across from me is Sandra Duran. Sandra, you've got your doctorate. You're someone who's well-known in educational circles, and you've got a very exciting ministry here. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, it's called Three Angels for Kids, and it's all spelled out, not just the number three, if anyone wants to find us, but I am the curriculum and creative director, and we have beautiful materials for children from pre-K all the way through grade 12, just showing the beautiful power of God and the love and grace and mercy that He has for us.
So I love this concept, and we've been talking to a number of individuals who've been concerned about some of the challenges that kids are facing these days.
Right.
And you folks have developed a curriculum. It is a Christian curriculum.
Right.
And you call it Three Angels. Now, folks who may be Bible students, they may be thinking, you know, it sounds familiar, maybe from the book of Revelation or something. But for those who are saying, wow, there's a lot of Christian content. I'm not a Christian. I've heard from some of the folks on today's show, and they want me to maybe rethink things. Maybe people have misrepresented what they were calling Christianity. Maybe Christianity, rightly understood, is very friendly to my native values. That's the message we've been hearing. What is this about these three angels? What are they all about?
Yeah, so the three angels of Revelation are reconnecting us with the Father God. And part of that is worship Him who made the heavens, the earth, the seas, and the springs of water. And I know native populations have so much respect for the beauty of God's world. And I think it's a nice connection. I think we can learn a lot from people who treat the earth in a way that they respect and know that it's something that we can either nurture or we can get rid of by our careless actions.
It's a sobering message. And I think of kids, this curriculum is written for children of what ages?
Okay, so all the way from age 4 to 18 and adults. Yeah, and it's not a full year curriculum or a semester curriculum. It's like 2 weeks. 2 weeks, we call them units. And the young ones make their own Three Angels books. They color and they do watercolor paint. And it all leads to making a difference in your community now that you understand the God of the heavens and the God that gave you a beautiful day to rest on, that we shouldn't just be all about hurry and rush, but we're also about rest. Once you understand the beauty of that, you want to share it.
I love this picture. What you're doing is putting out resources that are being used by conventional schools, right?
Yeah.
But I know there's a big movement, you know, with homeschool
yes.
education.
Homeschools too.
Are a lot of those folks using these curricula?
Yes. So we do have a homeschool version. It's really the same as our traditional classroom version, but we just changed the wording a little bit. Instead of saying for the teacher to work with the classroom, it will say for the parent and the child to work together or something. But it's the same content.
So let's talk a little bit about why you did this. You've got a rich background in education. For those who don't know you, Dr. Duran, tell us a little bit about where your life path has taken you.
Oh, wow. Yeah, my life path has been pretty busy, but I was an associate superintendent of education for 15 years for the Florida Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. And before that, I supervised teachers all over Boston. I've done a lot of things. But when I was asked to do this, honestly, it was so daunting that, you know, I never say no, but I really didn't expect to do it. And I said, let me pray about it. And I prayed about it. And that evening, when I was sleeping, there was a little poem going around in my head. And when I got up, I grabbed a pencil, wrote it out, and that became the first book that we have, Three Angels in the Sky. So I felt if God could give me that, he'd take me for the rest of the journey.
Wow. So the website again, is it Three Angels for?
F-O-R.
Uh-huh.
Kids.com.
Okay. Three, and write everything out.
Yes.
ThreeAngelsForKids.com.
Right. Right.
And if I go there, I'm going to have access to the curriculum.
Right.
Is there anything else that I'm going to find on the website if maybe I'm not ready to invest in it?
You know, we have a wonderful YouTube channel also.
Hmm.
And again, if you just go to youtube.com/ and spell that all out, that should take you to our YouTube channel. We have a lot of fun stories and things that kids will love.
So for someone who's hearing this for the first time, you know, we've given this brief kind of introduction. There's these three angels in the heart of the book of Revelation that's given you inspiration to share this with kids. You think it's a powerful focusing or centering message. At least that's what I hear you sharing,
yeah.
Dr. Duran. Why would someone who maybe isn't really all that interested in a spiritual curriculum, why should they even think about exploring something like this?
You know, there's just a lot of kids that are stressed and nervous in today's day and age. Those who are Christians sometimes are thinking, maybe I'm not good enough. And those who don't have any exposure to something biblical about the love and grace and faith of Jesus, a lot of these kids are nervous because they don't know that there's a bigger purpose for their lives. And so they spend a lot of their time just trying to entertain themselves. And that's stressful. That's stressful to see, how can I entertain myself rather than giving back to others and realizing that there's a divine purpose for their lives.
I'm so glad we're doing this segment at the end of this show, because we started this program talking with Dr. Tom Evans. He was sharing how kids are vulnerable.
Yeah.
Because of what they're looking for, you know, online, relationships and things. We talked with Nicole Parker, who shared her own background of abuse and how she, through nature, really, was willing to consider that there was something out there, maybe a God who had a plan for her life.
Yeah.
And what I love about what I hear you saying, Dr. Duran, is if someone's at that point, or you have children who are at that point, you know, here's a curriculum. I mean, give it 2 weeks.
Right.
Explore something that kind of puts in maybe a different light some of the things that have been misrepresented. Am I hearing that correctly?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And many of these units end up in having the children go out and do a project and do something in their community. And they feel very proud, you know.
I love community projects. I used to teach in a college classroom, and one of the classes I taught was nutrition. And I didn't want kids just sitting in the classroom
right.
learning about nutrition. We wanted to take them out into the community, sharing with the community, doing some classes. It's such a powerful way of
yeah.
learning for whatever level
yeah.
someone's at. And so I just so resonate with what you're doing. I'm hearing about the curriculum myself for the first
okay.
time. I've got the website, 3angels4kids.com. But before we go,
yeah,
and we've only got a couple of minutes left, Dr. Duran, to pull this show together, I've mentioned this whole area, and you kind of alluded to it. Nicole Parker mentioned how, having been the victim of abuse, one of the things that happened was it devalued her. She felt that no one could love her.
Right.
That she was, I mean, she didn't use the word, but, you know, that she was dirty or that she, you know, how could she have a healthy relationship? What do these three angel messages have to speak to someone who's been traumatized? How do they relate?
Yeah, it relates beautifully because we find out that Jesus is both our lawyer and our judge. Could you imagine? You did something wrong, you broke the law, and you get a really good lawyer, and it's courtroom day, and you go in, and you're a nervous wreck, and there's the lawyer sitting there as your judge. So if you personally feel criticized and less than, there's somebody who's your advocate who's also your judge. Drop the mic.
You know, it's the crazy thing is, you know, Nicole spoke about this desire we all have for justice.
Yeah.
And so God doesn't do away with that.
Right.
But he's the one. So even though he doesn't change,
he takes it for you.
His principles.
Right.
He's there intervening for you. He is your lawyer and your judge. And if you had a huge fine that you had to pay, if we continue the analogy, he's also the one that's paid that debt, right?
Who pays it, yes.
Sandra, you guys are doing some exciting stuff. And before we close, someone's been listening to the dialogue throughout this show. I know you haven't had the privilege of hearing all the guests. I've summarized briefly what they've shared. But if someone is thinking, I don't know what I want to check out this website, why should someone at least take a few minutes and go to 3angels4kids.com.
Yeah, because there's something for everyone there. The littlest ones all the way on up. And I think that you're going to find something for you and your family that will make a difference in your entire life.
Dr. Sandra Duran, thank you so much for what you're doing. Thank you for pulling away from a busy convention and joining me at our booth here as well.
Thank you.
And let me thank my listeners as well. Thank you to each one of you who've joined us for today's edition of American Indian and Alaska Native Living. Hopefully today's show has given you some perspective, some pitfalls that are out there for our kids, the young people in your community, but also some things that can give hope and encouragement, whether you check out 3angelsforkids.com or one of the other organizations that we featured today. I trust that you will be encouraged to be in the very best of health, because that is my honest wish and prayer for all of you. I'm Dr. DeRose.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.